Of last time, we had a chance to speak a little bit about Mikra Megillah, talk about some of the dinim of Mikra Megillah, some of the dinim that surround the brachas of Mikra Megillah, Bayom and Balayla, Shachyano, Shachyano Bayom, what the Shachyano Bayom also, we do say Shachyano Bayom, and we assume that it also covers the other three mitzvahs of Purim, and what to do if you miss a couple of words of the Mikra Megillah. You can make up a little bit, even Shalom Mitoch HaKlaf. And we spoke a little bit about Begadim, wearing Big Day, the idea, the Hidur wearing Big Day Shabbos on Purim, which is a common practice in our yeshiva, either Big Day Shabbos and or a costume, Eshul Kayim Shneim. Let's wrap up by talking a little bit about Tainus Esther. Benny, you just mentioned Tainus Esther. So two things about Tainus Esther. A technical piece and then a larger perspective. A technical piece is a practice that already appears in Rishonim, I think goes back to the days of the Gaonim, of Machtzis HaShekel on Tainus Esther afternoon at Mincha time. So what's that all about? Giving Machtzis HaShekel. So there is a real din of Machtzis HaShekel, potentially Din D'Oraisa. I mean, there is a Din D'Oraisa of Machtzis HaShekel, that the carbon is see when you have a Beis HaMikdash, so we bring many carbon is see, where every day we bring carbon tamid, and then every Shabbos, every Rosh Chodesh, every Yom Tov bring carbon musafim. And there are other carbon is see as well. So carbon is see only to be funded by the tzibur. When you have a carbon with a bala carbon, so the carbon is ola for to chaper for him. I bring carbon chatas, I bring carbon ola, I bring carbon asham. It satisfies my need, my spiritual need for kapara, and perhaps also I may have taken a ned there, or a nedava, to bring the carbon, to bring this carbon. So they're bringing it on my behalf. It fulfills my obligation, and typically I'm also one who funds it. I'm the one who's paying for it. So when Kalal Yisrael or the Bali have carbon, we have a carbon sibur, which is funded by Kalal Yisrael. How does that work? The Torah tells us. Kind of this week's parsha. Parshas Kisisa, the idea of Machtzis HaShekel, an annual collection of the identical amount from every Jew, the minimum that amount is Machtzis HaShekel. Beis Din has the right to set a higher amount that every Jew is going to give instead of Machtzis HaShekel. They have to assess based on how many Jews there are, what percentage of Jews are going to give it on time, what the cost of animals is, if there's inflation, the supply crisis. You have to figure out what the cost will be and budget properly and set an amount, which is at least Machtzis HaShekel, that every Jew has to give. And that's going to fund the carbon sibur. The mission, the opening mission of Masechet Shkalim, which is obviously dedicated primarily to the dinim Machtzis HaShekel, a related dinim, the opening parak, the Echad Ba'adam, Hashmina Al-Shkalim. The month of Adar was a month that was dedicated to fundraising for Machtzis HaShekel, because Rosh Chodesh Nisan is beginning of the fiscal year. The Karbanah started Rosh Chodesh Nisan are brought from the Truma Chadasha, from the new crop of donations that came in. So we start a month before, the entire month of Adar is spent on bringing in and the donations. It doesn't all come in over the course of the month of Adar, but enough comes in over the course of that first month that we can fund the first few months of Karbanah beginning of Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So we are in the midst of what ought to be the month of Machtzis HaShekel. But what's Machtzis HaShekel doing on Tainus Esther? We know the next day, Purim, is a mitzvah Medivrei Kabbalah, a mitzvah Rabbanah, appears in the Tanakh, Matanosa Ev Yonim. What's happening in Tainus Esther afternoon at Mincha? So it's a zecher of Machtzis HaShekel. It is not Chas V'Shalom, not Machtzis HaShekel. If a Jew were to take money and say, this is Machtzis HaShekel, that's very dangerous. I mean, anything you do with that money, other than buying carbon sibur, you're playing with fire, potentially me'ila. Unless I'll say, everyone knows he didn't really literally Machtzis HaShekel, but it's a dangerous way to go. So it's important to stress it's a zecher. Zecher of Machtzis HaShekel. We discussed earlier in the year different, the idea of zecher mikdash. We discussed Hanukkah, might be zecher mikdash to the menorah. The way we handle the challah on Shabbos might be zecher to rachapanim. The way we kasher kalim with a cold rinse afterwards might be zecher to the way they kasher kale marika shtifa the base hamikdash and so on and so forth. See, we have a practice, a minig. Obviously, the Gemara says we're a real din. The Mishnah records takanas v'yochem azakai that we shake lulav v'nesrig chalamoid zukis. That's zeicher lamikdash. In our Torah, shaking lulav v'nesrig chalamoid is only in base hamikdash. Mishchar v'abayis hiskim v'yochem azakai that we shake lulav v'nesrig on chalamoid all over the world zeicher lamikdash. So in Gaonim introduced a minag zeicher lamikdash to give Zeich or Machsa Shekel, specifically of the course of month of Adar, specifically Tainus Esther afternoon. The important to stress is only Zecher on Mikdash, and the common practice is to give at least three halves of the denomination of the realm, the coin of the realm. So in America, that would mean giving at least $1.50. Some people get very caught up in Dafka, the $3.50. Not clear that's so significant. But at least to give at least $1.50 as a zeicher l'machzah shekel, That's one of the practices of a Tainus Esther. Obviously, Tainus Esther is a Tainus, like much like the other Shartanios, not to the level of Tisha B'Av, certainly not to the level of Yom Kippur, but loosely speaking, in general terms, similar in level of the severity. To Shiras B'Tamas, to some Gedalia, to Sar B'Tavis. It is all important to note, and with this we close, that although in terms of the broad strokes of this, of the level of the severity of the fast, in broad strokes it's the same as those Shar Tanios, Shechter has a beautiful article in Big Ve'atzon, could I take a look if you have time this afternoon, beautiful article where he develops the idea that thematically Tainus Esther is totally unlike those Shaar Tanios. The Tainus Esther, based on Tshuva Ravadi and others, the Tainus Esther is a Tainus Shal Simcha. Almost all the Tanios that we have fixed for all of Klal Yisrael on the calendar are Tanios of Avelos, both Tisha B'Av, as well as the other Tanios we mentioned before, Shivas B'Tamos, Sam Gedalia, Asar B'Tavis, are obviously all Tanios of Avelos. But Tainus Esther, what is Tainus Esther commemorating? It's not commemorating Churban. There's the other four Tainus I mentioned before, which happened to be the four Tanios mentioned the Pasuk in Zechariah, Tzom Arvi, Tzom HaChamishi, Tzom HaShavi'i, Tzom HaAsiri, the fasts of the months of Tammuz, of Tishrei and Teves. They asked Zechariah, should we continue to fast those fasts now that we have Beis HaMikdash back? A good question, because those are all Tanios of Avelos. And now we have the Mikdash back. Tainus Esther is not a Tainus of Avelos. What are we sad about? What? Why, by the way, are we fasting Tainus Esther at all? What are we fasting about? So the answer is, Alpi Pashtas, that it's commemorating Tanios of Tefillah. It's commemorating Tanios of Tefillah that happened during the Purim story, perhaps two different Tanios of Tefillah. When did they fast? So number one, they fasted. They fasted in response to Esther's Kol Kore. Right? Leich Knosis Kol HaYehudim. That moment in the Megillah when everything shifts. That moment in the Megillah where Esther, where Mordechai says, Mio demo es kazosi gaf l'machus. We're talking this past Shabbos at Shal Shudas, right? You see from that pasuk that the Jew, that Mordechai and Esther certainly had been wondering for years. There must be some purpose to this. It seems so senseless. This tragedy of Esther being pulled away from her family, ripped out of the Jewish community, kidnapped to Achashverosh's home. They've been just wondering for years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu must have some plan, but what is it? They couldn't figure it out. Maybe they went through many different Havaminas. Mio demo es kazos. Number one, that teaches us that Mordechai has been discussing this for a while. And Mordechai says, oh, maybe this is the answer. Maybe the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu sought it with the Yehudim Beis HaChashverosh years ago was for this moment. There are other things happening at that moment too. It's the pivot moment in the Megillah. Esther, up until that point, is a relative, is a follower, in a good sense. She she follows Mordechai predominantly. And Ein Esther Megeres as Shema Ves Malata, Mordechai Tziva, Shelo Tagin. So she goes along with some of what they tell her in the palace, but much of it she does not. But as if up until this point, she's a relatively passive follower. Incredible Mesiris Nefesh, but a relatively passive follower. At this moment, everything shifts. When Mordechai says, Mio de Moles Kazosi Gapla Malchus, all of a sudden, boom, there's an instant role reversal. Esther turns around and for the first time tells Mordechai, okay, here's what I need you to do. Go lecha, hear my instructions to you. Esther is a driving force now. Lecha noses kol ha-yehudim, sumo alai al-tocha titru shloshes yam, al-vayom, yamad even narasai otzim kein. She tells Mordechai, here's what I need you to do. I need you to organize kol korei, kol shal has to fast and daven 3 days. And with this, I'm going to go into the melech. That moment, so that's so Chazal tell us was Pesach time. It could be that psalm is being commemorated with Tainus Esther. It could also be that what's being commemorated with Tainus Esther is the psalm on Yud Gimel Adar. Yud Gimel Adar was, the Gemara has a mysterious language, it's Yom Kihila. What does that mean? Some understand it means that was a day. Some are saying that means it's the day of Tainus Esther. Some are saying it means that was the day that Klal Yisrael went to war. Yud Gimel Adar, Yud Dalet Adar Purim was the day Asher Nachu. That was the day after the Milchama when they were able to be at peace. Today, Yud Gimel Adar is the day of the Milchama. You see from Sefer Shmuel, we were discussing this the other day, that it was a very, very ancient Jewish practice to be mispal and misamen. Tefillah b'shas milchama goes back to Yaakov and to Moshe. And Tainus is already recorded in Sefer Shmuel. Shaul, Yonasan, the notion of being misamen be'es milchama as a form of tefillah. Ultimately, we do our shtadlus ultimately success in the coming of Kadosh Baruch Hu. As Yaakov already taught us, you prepare for milchama and with tefillah. The Tainus Esther is likely a commemoration of either or both of those tanyos. The Gimel Yamim, Pesach time, in advance of Esther going into Achashverosh, and or the Tanis of Kol Yisrael at the time of the Melchama, today on Tanis Esther. It's now coming back. Now that we begin to understand what Tanis Esther is and what's commemorating is one or both of the Tanios of Tefillah, successful Tefillah, incredibly successful Tefillah. So it's a Tainus, but it's not a sad Tainus. It's a Tainus Shel Simcha. We're commemorating the times in our history, specifically in the Purim story, when we davened and we fasted, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu responded to our Tefillahs in very obvious ways, in beautifully obvious ways. With incredible Yeshua that followed soon on the heels of our tefillahs. It took a few months for things to fully play out after the time is Pesach time. But ultimately, let's say incredible Yeshua in relatively short amount of time. So the Tainus, the Rosh Hashanah develops this nusach that Tainus Esther, the Tainus Shel Simcha. It's a happy Tainus. Seriously, he says that discussion about whether that's what he has there, Ravadi and others. The bris on Tainus Esther, particularly Tainus Esther Shenidcha, sometimes Tainus Shenidcha, so then the Nidcha from the Shabbos, sometimes the postman will say that the Bali bris don't have to fast. If you have a bris, Bashmini falls out of the Tainus Shenidcha. But some postman say that's not true for Tainus Esther. Why? Because the Tainus Shel Simcha. What do you mean, more chamor? Absolutely. A Tainus of Avelus, so the Simcha, the bris, is a stira to the Avelus of the Tainus. So you have to determine which one wins. So if the Tainus are a Nidcha, so then perhaps, at least for the Bali Bris, for the Moel, the Sandik, the parents, perhaps the Simcha of the Bris overwhelms and cancels the Avelus of the Tainus. So they don't have to fast at all, perhaps. But Tainus Esther, there's no Sira between the Simcha of the Bris and the Simcha of Tainus Esther. It's not so much Simcha that we got Pachanun. It's not like Erev Yom Kippur. and we say slichas but not tachron. We say tachron unless it's a bris. We say tachron on Tainus Esther. But the Tainus itself is driven by a simcha. It's rooted in a simcha. That's why perhaps it's not a Tainus. It's not a Tainus that would get canceled by the simcha of a bris. Rosh Shechter also suggests the halacha that in terms of chinuch of ketanim, betanis. So the Mishnah says daf pei beis maseches Yuma, the last paragraph of Yuma. The Mishnah says that there is chinuch for fasting on Yom Kippur. The Mishnah Gemara developed the idea that year or two before Godless Bar Bas Mitzvah, a boy or a girl should fast the entire Yom Kippur. A year or two before that, you fast the shows, you fast a partial Yom Kippur. The Shaar Tanya is supposed to assume that there is no chinuch for Tisha B'Av nor for Shavas Matamas, some Gedalia, Asar B'Teves, because there is no chinuch for Avelus. If a Katan, Rachman, Tzlan, a Katan loses a close relative, Katan is not mechuyev to be misabo. A katan is mechuyev to parents are mechuyev to see to it. A ketanim perform all sorts of mitzvahs, even midrabanan, even before reaching bar bas mitzvah. To daven, to say kriya shema, to bench, to shake lulav, so on and so forth, all sorts of mitzvahs. To be kind to other people, not to speak lashon hara, is a chinuch ketanim be mitzvahs. But there are exceptions. One of the exceptions is no chiyuv chinuch on avelus. Even if Rachman Tzlan, a child under bar bas mitzvah loses a close relative, a parent, a sibling, it's an incredibly, incredibly tragic situation. A child may want to be misabel. A child may want to sit shiva. A child certainly is allowed to sit shiva. Wiser minds have to think about to what extent it's healthy, at what age, what the situation is. But at least in principle, a child is allowed to sit shiva, but is not mechuyev to keep any of the nihuga avelus. So the Gemara says you do kriya. You do kriya on the begadim of an avel katan. That's really more for everyone else. Bnei Agmas Nefesh. It's going to drive home to everyone else. It's a tragedy. Look at this child who lost a parent. Look at this child who, Rechman HaTzal, lost a sibling. Bnei Agmas Nefesh. But Chinuch, but Avelus rather. Nihugi Avelus. Not to bathe normally, and not to sit in a regular chair. And so on and so forth. All the Nihugi Avelus, not leaving the house as much. All the Nihugi Avelus, strictly speaking, a Kata, an Avel Katan, is not obligated to keep those. Who got veils, not to wear shoes, and so on and so forth. So by dint of that, poskim say that in a happier situation, Baruch Hashem, no one lost any relatives recently. But aveilus yishana, Ramban coins the term aveilus chadasha, is a fresh, new aveilus, aveilus over a lost relative, aveilus sitting shiva and shloshim yibes chodesh, aveilus chadasha, Ramban writes in his Sefer Torah Sa'adam on aveilus. Is Avelis, the old Avelis, Avelis over the Churban Habayis. These Tanyos, as well as the aspects of Avelis for Mikdash, should apply all year long, Zeichel v'Churban. So the Tanyos that are Avelis Yishana, the Tanyos for the Mikdash, also, Poskim write, Alpi Pashtas, under Bar Bas Mitzvah, you're not Mechuyiv to fast, because there's no Chinuch on Avelis, there's no obligation for a ketanim to practice aveilus, even when it would otherwise be appropriate. If a child wants to fast, it's not an iser for a child to want to fast. He wants to fit in with his friends are all fasting Tisha B'Av. Okay, not an iser, but there's no obligation, maybe no kiyum. What's the difference? It's an interesting question I was asking. I do not recall. I do not remember. I believe that was part of the takana of chinuch. When they were talking to chinuch, they left out avelus. Perhaps because of a psychological recognition, and it might not be the healthiest thing. So we're not going to mandate it, and instead it'll be a case-by-case determination. Sometimes it's healthy for that particular child in this particular situation. So he has the option to. We're not going to mandate. I don't remember for sure if that's the reason or not. But be that as a mech hazal, we're not misakin chinuch, a chiyav chinuch on abelus, and therefore post can extend that to the tanyos for churban. However, Tainus Esther is not a tanyos for churban. Tainus Esther is a tanyos for simcha, and therefore, like Yom Kippur, it should apply to ketan and midraban. There should be a chinuch for ketan. And then in addition to the two nafkaminas that Rosh Hechter gives, this concept of Tainus Shal Simcha, both in terms of the bris on Tainus Esther as well as Ketanim on Tainus Esther, I would add one more, and with this we close, only somewhat tongue-in-cheek. I always thought that one could be makel to write a spiel for Lil Purim on Tainus Esther. There were, over the years, fellows who said to me, "Hayitach, it's not right. It's not right. It's pasnished. It's inappropriate to, you know, be busy writing a spiel on Tainus Esther. It's a Tainus. How can you say that Tainus and write a spiel?" It's a reasonable question. The tzorich is real because the spiel is typically happening Leil Purim, and if it wasn't done up until now, hypothetically speaking, sometimes things get done at the last minute. But the kasha is a good kasha. But I thought that if you adopt the position that Tainus Esther is Tainus Shel Simcha, so then only somewhat tongue in cheek. But I thought seriously also, it's a Tainus Shel Simcha, so it's not inappropriate to write a Purim spiel on the Tainus Esther afternoon. It's not inappropriate to be spending time on Tainus Esther afternoon, you know, while putting together your Purim costume. But thus it does. Yes, it does. It should be an elevated day. It shouldn't be a frivolous day, Tainus Esther. Neither, for that matter, should Purim. As the Meiri said before, with this we close, it's not just about drinking and not getting drunk and not debasing yourself, not degrading yourself, which of course is critical. But far more than that, not just Shaval Tas, not just in terms of what you don't do, not just in terms of Surah, but Asay Tov. Purim is such a holy, special day. It should be incredibly happy, enormous simcha. You should be singing and dancing, having an amazing time. But it shouldn't be frivolous and silly and debased. It should be a simcha shaholos, such an incredibly special day. One of the days is the day of the renewed Kabbalah Satorah. Kimu mashakiblu kvar. Hadra kiblu mechash verish. It's one of the great days of Kabbalah Satorah. Purim ranks up there with Shavuos and Yom Kippur. It's one of the great days of Kabbalah Satorah for Klal Yisrael. One of the great days of Kabbalah Satfila for Klal Yisrael. We're talking about Tainus Esther as a Tainus Shel Simcha because of the Tfilos that were in this Kabbalah. All the more so Purim. I don't remember if I mentioned last week. In the Rebbe Shechter likes to point out, in the Minhag Shtei Yeshivas in Bavel, in the period of the Gaonim, they would say Tachanon on Purim. Tachanon on Purim. What's that all about? The answer is, does that mean that they didn't think Purim was happening? No, Avadei Tzol Purim was a day of great simcha, universal simcha, overwhelming simcha. So why are you saying Tachan? The answer is, not because the simcha is so small, but because the tefillah is so great. Tachanun, as we've discussed in the past, is a multiplier on the impact of my Shemona Esrei. It goes back to Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Nun Tes in the days. That Rabbi Eliezer's Rebbetzin didn't want him to daven too effectively. Without getting into the details of the story there, Rebbetzin Eliezer, who was Rabbi Gamliel's sister, at that juncture, she was trying to tamp down the power of her husband's tefillah. What did she do? The Gemara says she went in every day to be mafsekin between Shmona Esrei and Tachanun. One day she thought it was Rosh Chodesh, really wasn't. This was back in the days of Kaviyas HaLuach HaYedei Beis Din, HaYedei Riyah. So she thought it was Rosh Chodesh. She didn't go in. It turned out it really wasn't Rosh Chodesh. Her husband knew it was Rosh Chodesh. He said Tachanun. And then we'll take a look there at the story about Metzia Daf Nun Tes, what happened. And he was able to combine his Shmona Esrei with his Tachanun. His feel was that much more powerful. So you see many things from that story. One thing you see from that story is that you don't say Tachanun Rosh Chodesh. That's the mucker for not saying Tachanun and you make Simcha. But another thing you see from that story is that Tachanun is a multiplier. It turbocharges the power of a Shmona Esrei alone. Shemar Esrei plus Tachna is that much more powerful. And so the Rambam, Perek Hei, is dedicated to eight different items. Perek Hei Vilchus Tefila, Rambam has eight different items that are not required. Well, I should say, are not ma'akid your Shemar Esrei. You go to Shemar Esrei even without them, but they significantly enhance your Shemar Esrei. One of them is Tachna. If you said Shemar Esrei, you didn't say Tachna, you still go to Shemar Esrei. But Tachanun is not just a freestanding tefillah, it deeply enhances your Shemoneh Esrei. It's a multiplier in the Shemoneh Esrei. You're not mafsek. It's the appendix. It's the epilogue for Shemoneh Esrei. So that's when the Nigshei Yeshivas, not that they said Tachanun Purim, not because there isn't so much simcha, but because there's so much tefillah. How could you not enhance your Shemoneh Esrei on a Purim? On a day of Kabbalah, it's a tefillah. Wow. Day of Kabbalah Satorah, of our re-Kabbalah Satorah, a day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Makabal our Tfilas, a day of incredible Simcha that flowed from recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there caring for us with constant Nisim Nistarim even when we don't see Him. That's Simcha. To know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there not just occasionally when I see Him, when I hear Him knocking, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there all the time, even when His fingerprints aren't evident, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is always there behind the scenes. That's incredible simcha. That drives a renewed Kabbalah Satorah. That empowers me. That powers me to want to daven. Kadosh Baruch Hu is always listening, even if it's not evident. That's a day of extraordinary simcha. A day of incredible revelation. Absolutely. Absolutely, this is a chetzir lachem. Absolutely, the chetzir lachem. Absolutely, there should be gishmak asuda. There should be gishmak eating, and you should enjoy shalachma. You should enjoy time with friends. You should sing. You should dance in yeshiva and in homes. It should be freilach and gishmak. Absolutely, and a freilach and a gishmak, as Meiri says, that leads you to greater avas Hashem. A freilach and a gishmak. That's an expression of a vani kirbas elokim li tov. One that expresses a sense of kirbas elokim, a simcha that comes from a renewed appreciation of noticing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my life, and a simcha also that in turn generates even more. A simcha that drives that sense, that awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my life, a closest HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a yearning for even greater closeness. The simcha of Purim, the physical simcha of Purim, should be of the sort that it instills that HaKaras HaBore in me more and more deeply, in a way that makes it more and more permanent, in a way that the Purim, the Simcha of the Purim, and the Simcha of Kirvas Elokim will come out of a Purim with a deeper sense, a more organic sense of Kirvas Elokim, that Avas Hashem is a part of me, in a way that lasts long after the Mishloach Manzer unboxed, and long after the Mishloach Manzer had been destroyed with the rest of the Chametz. But that sense of Kirvas Elokim and the simcha that comes from knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about me more than I can possibly imagine. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about me more than I can tell in the moment. That simcha of Purim is a simcha that lasts throughout the year. I look forward to dancing with each and every one of you, Mitzvah, in just a couple of hours at Yeshiva tonight.